a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing's done. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola.
Thanks so much for joining us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, a safe place for healing life's hurts and growing in faith. Tonight we're going to be joined by Dr. Ray Pritchard, who serves as president of Keep Believing Ministries. He has ministered extensively overseas. He's a prolific author with 27 volumes to his credit at the time of this bio. Probably there are three or four more books in the pipeline if I know Dr. Pritchard at this point. He also pastored churches in Los Angeles, Dallas, and Chicago for some 26 years, most recently Calvary Memorial Church in Oak Park, Illinois for 16 years. And Dr. Pritchard, what I love about your bio is that you list as one of your hobbies surfing the internet. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
It's true. Like most people today, Kim, I am pretty much hooked up online 24 hours a day. You wake up in the morning and I'm checking the email, or really more likely I'm checking Facebook or Twitter or something like that, and things that I didn't even know about 5 years ago. I'm a servant of social media just like everybody else these days, hooked up all the time.
Well, and you know, for me, there's a little bit of a snare with surfing the internet, probably to the point where it's more of an issue that I feel like I need to overcome rather than listing it as a hobby. But I like the fact that you're recognizing, yeah, this could be a hobby of mine if we look at how much actual time I spend on it.
We all know, don't we, that the internet is a source of, it's, of course, could be a great time waster. It's also a source of potential evil. And, I mean, or I should probably say more a source of actual evil and harm. But it's also true. It's a tool. The internet is a bad master. It's a good servant. If we use the internet wisely, we can connect with people all over the world. So I think in many ways it's the most wonderful ministry tool God has given us in the last 50 years. It's an amazing gift, because you can be where you are and I can be where I am, and we can speak to the whole wide world.
Love it. Well, I want to talk today about the topic of forgiveness. I know that you've written a lot about that and you've talked a lot about that, and also recovering from life's hurts. And you did a recent sermon series on the life of Joseph, including some key questions, some crucial questions that all of us need to be asking ourselves. Excuse me. Pete, you'll help me out with that. Some key questions, some crucial questions that all of us need to be asking ourselves. And one of these questions has to do with living in freedom. Do you want to be set free? Let's talk about this. Do you think that the average person really is living a life of freedom in Christ once we have become believers in Him?
I think the challenge is to continue to become what we already are, which sounds like a little bit of a distinction or maybe a play on words, but I think it's a great biblical truth that God has said there is therefore now no condemnation, that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ, that we are the sons and daughters of a living God, that we have access to the throne room of heaven, that Jesus is our great high priest. I mean, Kim, you could just go on and on and on listing the blessings that come to us by virtue of our union with Jesus Christ. The problem is not with the doctrine. The problem is always, how do you make real in your own experience the truth that the New Testament says? And I'm drawn back to what dear old Martin Luther, father of the Protestant Reformation, loved to say. He said, we must preach the gospel to ourselves every single day, or else we are liable to forget it. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Sometimes, Kim, we make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm saved by grace, or it is the gospel of Christ that saves me, but now I'm on my own for the rest of the Christian life. And that's a great, That's a great trap to fall into. It's a dangerous way of thinking. Kim, we need the gospel of Christ every day, just as much today as we did the day that we trusted in Jesus.
I love the insight that you came to, Dr. Pritchard, about this idea of how the truth functions to make us free, because it's well-known saying of the Lord that you will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And we could talk about the context of when he said that and why in John 8. But you came to a realization, much like I did from the cartoon Ziggy. We came at it from different perspectives. Ziggy said, the truth will make you free, but first it will make you miserable.
And it is true.
And I think this, forestalling that misery keeps us from ever getting at the truth that we know in our hearts to be true.
Some years ago, I went to see a Christian counselor who was helping me deal with some issues in my own life. And after I had finished seeing him, a couple weeks later, I got a stack of sheets in the mail that had some test results and some sayings and so on, and I just was kind of flipping through them, and I came to one page that, I say this advisedly, truly changed my life, because I never thought about it before. He had done a little takeoff on that saying of Jesus you mentioned, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And on the sheet of paper it said, the truth shall set you free, and then in big letters, but it will hurt you first. And it was one of those moments where, okay, in the cartoons where they have a light bulb going off over the head, you know, that's what it was for me. The light went on, and I saw something about myself, and I saw something about the problems of people I had never seen before. You know, Kim, I think for most Christians, the problem is not a lack of knowledge. I mean, if you go to a Bible-believing church and good evangelical church, you probably are up to your eyeballs in knowledge. We hear sermons, we have Bible studies, we have small groups, and I don't mean that we are all advanced biblically to some PhD status, but I mean, here in America, there is no shortage of biblical knowledge. If biblical knowledge itself would set us free, we would all have advanced to super sainthood a long time ago. And then I thought about what that counselor had said. The greatest challenge is not knowing the truth. The greatest challenge is daring to let the truth hurt you first. And I think in my own life, just as many people do, that I'll put up those deflector shields, incoming truth, mm-hmm. and I'll put up the shields just so that I won't hear the truth about myself. And I think I got to remind myself, and I think we all need to think about the fact that if we want to get better, I mean, if we want to deal with our anger, if we want to deal with our resentment, if we want to deal with our deep-seated discouragement, if we want to deal with the real pains and hurts of life, we've got to be willing to say, oh, Lord, let your truth come in and let it do its work, even if it hurts me, Lord, because I want to be set free. And I think, Kim, whenever we approach the Lord that way, not just saying, show me the truth, but let your truth heal me in any way you choose. I think if we'll follow down that path, eventually we will be set free.
And what I love about what you're saying is that in addition to this, maybe even more importantly, in my case, I can, as I look back on it, along with being set free, I learned something really important about God, this aspect of his character that he sometimes needs to hurt us in order to heal us. You know, we're not appalled by that notion in the physical realm, right? If the doctor has to cut you to do surgery, well, you're willing to, you know, hopefully you've got some anesthesia on board. But, you know, there are many times when we take some temporary hurt because we have the hope of greater healing. And it's often hard for us to discern that that is God's way with us. But wow, once we learn that, then future hurts are experienced, I think, in a real different way too.
Well, Hebrews 12 talks about the, quote, discipline of the Lord. And, sometimes that word discipline scares us, but it shouldn't. It's the process by which we are shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. It's the process by which we come to face bad attitudes, sinful habits, things that have chained us to the past. And I love the way Hebrews 12 says it, that no discipline seems pleasant for the present moment. Oh, is that true? And we don't want to give some false view of the Christian faith that says, well, if you just follow Jesus, everything's going to be hunky-dory and rosy, and you aren't going to have any problems at all. The truth of the matter is that Christian growth is not just a straight upward path. It's up and down and zig and zag and two steps forward and three steps back and a couple steps to the side. It's only when you come out on the other side and you look back and say, oh, I see. It had to be that way so the Lord could do His work in my life. And Hebrews 12 talks about the fruit of righteousness. There's a little pain involved. There's some difficulty involved. There's some growing involved. But if you can get to the fruit part, you'll look back and say, Lord, I thank you that you knew exactly what you were doing. Even the hard parts, you were there.
Our guest is Dr. Ray Pritchard here at Cradle My Heart Radio. He has a number of books that would be applicable to the particular topic we've dived into tonight, including He's God and We're Not, Seven Laws of the Spiritual Life, as well as The Healing Power of Forgiveness. We'll continue talking about these crucial questions that we have to ask ourselves and also just the process of healing life's hurts. Stay with us. You're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola.
Dr. Ray Pritchard is our guest tonight, and he is with Keep Believing Ministries, which involves many, many different activities, including ministering extensively overseas, China, Bolivia, Colombia, Paraguay, Belize, Haiti, Nigeria, Switzerland, Russia, India, and Nepal. And we only have an hour of your time overall today, Dr. Pritchard. We could talk, I think, for an hour or more about each of those different locations. And as we think about this idea of what we've been talking about tonight, healing life's hurts, I wonder how the process of healing in Christ differs from culture to culture. I mean, I think so many of our problems that we experience here in the U.S. are problems of affluence. I'm not the first person to make that observation, but problems of abundance. For me, it's much more difficult to remain faithful in a time of abundance than in a time of lack. Maybe you could just talk with us about what you've learned as you've ministered internationally about the process of how God heals life's hurts.
You know, I was, just as you were saying that, I was thinking about a house church pastor, friend of mine, who serves a congregation in China. One of those situations where the police have come and they have interrogated him and they have shut down his meeting place, and they actually tore down a building to try to stop his congregation. I mean, there's a young man, too, just in his, basically, when I met him, he was 28 years old. He's now in his 30s, who has been through any number of difficulties with the government over there. And I think about my friend Peter and wonder what keeps his faith strong. And I think Kim, you touched on it in part, that here in America, we have so much affluence. We have money. We have pretty much what we think we need. I mean, we're not multimillionaires, most of us, but we have what we need, and we think everything's going to be okay. And I look at my friends in China, and they meet on Sunday morning in a house and or an apartment, and they will sing for 35 or 40 minutes, and then Peter will preach for 45 minutes, and then they will worship for another 45 minutes, and then they will have a meal together. So it's most of the day they are together. And I think maybe our brothers and sisters around the world have a deeper sense of the body of Christ and the healing power of the body of Christ. In fact, if I could venture in this direction, I would say one of the problems of American Christianity, and I think I'm probably as guilty of this as anybody else is, that we are so individualistic in our approach to God. We come to the Lord, we bring our prayer requests, we pray for our own needs, and we feel like we're pretty self-sufficient. You go to a place like Haiti where they don't have very much. You go to some of the slums of India. You see the difficulties of Christians in that great country. You go to Christians who are living in Muslim-dominated countries, and they hang together much better than we do, Kim, because they understand that in that kind of pressure, whether it's economic pressure, pressure from the government, that if they do not hang together, if they don't lean on each other, they're going to be overwhelmed by the pressures and difficulties and the persecutions of life. Whereas we Christians just kind of go, well, you know, it's Sunday. Maybe I'll go to church. Maybe I won't, you know. Maybe I'll get with my friends. Maybe I won't. And I find overseas in other cultures a much greater sense of the need for the whole body of Christ to sing together, to worship together. I mean, we all understand we're stronger together than we are separately, but in America, I think we tend to pay lip service to that. You go to China, you go, you're a Christian in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, that's life and death truth to you, that you can't do it by yourself. You need the whole body of Christ to heal, to be strong, to keep believing in Jesus.
And I think that, you know, how we got here in America, there are a lot of different reasons, some of which is just, you know, the material wealth that we enjoy, which does make us rich in comparison with most of the world. I think many of us have heard those statistics. But also, I sense that within the church, sometimes it's this idea of you need a personal relationship with Jesus, which is absolutely true. But some of us, I think, picture that as more, you know, that Jesus is my personal trainer, or my personal assistant, you know what I mean? And then we have to go looking for accountability, whereas what you're describing, there's built-in accountability because you're actually living, breathing, and spending all your time with your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Well, in that house church, if you're going to be a part of that particular, and it's what I described is typical across China, that number one, you're going to be moving against the flow of a basically atheistic, materialistic culture. Number two, you're going to be there on Sunday morning, and you're not going to drop in for 45 minutes or rush in for the first service or whatever. You're going to come in, and in one of the services I was in, I mean, they knelt cross-legged on the floor, and they sang and prayed for 40 minutes, and they stayed that way for another 40 minutes of preaching, and then there was singing and worship and prayer, and then there was the meal that was brought out of the kitchen. So there was a deep sense of family, a deep sense of community. And you know, Kim, when you're a part of a church like that, I mean, not a church of 10,000, but a church of maybe 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 people, they know when you're not there. They're going to call you. They're going to come see you. And that becomes your life. And you're right. I think the emphasis on accepting Jesus as your own personal Savior, which, by the way, we completely believe in,
we know,
right?
We believe it.
We completely believe it. But if you don't go on from there, if Jesus is just your individual personal Savior, and you never discover the riches of the body of Christ, you're never going to grow the way you ought to grow. And when hard times come, you're going to be all alone. And just to be honest about it, the devil likes nothing better than to get you all alone, because you're really no match by yourself in your own human strength against a supernatural being who wants to bring you down. We really do need each other to become strong, to stand up against temptation, and to heal from the very real hurts and pains of life.
And I think we've now come back to what we were talking about in the first segment, which is, okay, if it is a personal relationship, and we take ourself out of the focus, we take the focus off ourselves in the personal aspect of it, we come back to what you were talking about. Are you willing to get so personal with God that you will let him tell you the truth about yourself? You know, now that's a personal relationship that a lot of us you know, aren't necessarily seeking and didn't, you know, may start to feel like we didn't sign up for once that process is set in motion in our hearts. And yet, as you noted, that's always for our good. And there's a process that happens in the healing, regardless of boundaries internationally, because human nature is human nature. And if there is something in our lives that we need to be set free from, that first step you've identified for us, Dr. Pritchard, is confession. Let's talk about that just a little bit. Why God has ordained things to be that way and how you go about doing this.
You know, I was thinking as you were talking about the one another passages of the New Testament. Let me just throw out to our listeners, if you want to do a fun and illuminating Bible study, just take the New Testament and take a concordance or, you know, get one of these Bible programs and just type in the words one another. And see how many different times the Bible talks about love one another, admonish one another, build one another up, encourage one another. And James 5 talks about not just praying for one another, but confess your sins to one another. We all know, don't we? We need to confess to God. We need to come clean. Psalm 51 says that the Lord desires truth in the inward parts, or as Eugene Peterson says, truth from the inside out. And I think I'm holding both my hands up in the air here, Kim, to show you something. In one hand, we need those times when it's just me and the Lord. When I am confessing to the Lord some things that, attitudes that are wrong, things that I did that I just need to get, I need to get them off my chest. I need to say that to the Lord. But there's also a time when I need to be with friends and I can say, I really blew it. I blew it in my parenting. I blew it in my marriage. I blew my top at work, and this is what I said, and this is what I did. And somebody else will say, okay, let me tell you what I did. And in the sharing of the burdens of life, there is freedom, there's healing, there's strength, and suddenly you go, hey, I'm not the only person who ever made a mistake like this. And what may feel embarrassing at first actually leads us down the path of healing and freedom because we realize I'm not in this alone, which I think is probably the number one thing the devil wants to do. He just wants to get us separated from each other so we'll feel I'm in this alone. Because if you actually feel you're in this alone, the next step is just to give up and quit. So the great gift of the body of Christ is that in confessing our sins to one another and praying for one another, James 5 says, we can be healed.
Dr. Ray Pritchard is our guest, and we're talking about his many books. We're talking tonight about healing in particular, and many of his books do apply to this. I hope that you'll go to his website, Keep Believing Ministries, and learn more about it. And, of course, we've got it linked at cradlemyheart.org. And we'll continue the conversation talking about the flip side. In order to be set free, we need to be forgiven. Many times, though, we will need to forgive. And Dr. Pritchard has a volume titled, Why Did This Happen to Me? That's a question many of us have asked. And the answer is perhaps confessing the sins of others. I don't know that you'd put it that way, Dr. Pritchard, but we'll try to delve into that in our coming segment. Stay with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Back live to Cradle My Heart with Kim Cattola.
Dr. Ray Pritchard is our guest, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio, a safe place for healing life's hurts and growing in faith. And in the former segment, we were talking about the value of confession and why it's such an important part to living in freedom in Christ, as we can unburden ourselves with others, safe people, of course, Things happen and things change. And before we jump to another topic, I do want to talk about the other important aspects of healing beyond confession, because without repentance and reconciliation, that confession really probably will not lead to our complete healing. Talk about repentance. This is a real, boy, I love to get into the issue of repentance, because I think it is still so misunderstood for all the great teaching and preaching that exists out there. There are still so many people who don't understand what it is and who avoid it or overlook the importance of repenting.
You know, if you go back and read the Gospel of Mark, the very first word that is recorded from the mouth of Jesus is the word repent. It's a great Bible word. It's a hugely important concept. And I think the thing that helps me when I think about repentance is to understand that repentance, first of all, is something that happens in the mind. In fact, the Greek word for repentance means to change your mind. It means you did something, and it was a foolish thing to do, but you lost your temper, and you did it anyway. And now, having cooled off, and now God's Spirit has begun to work on you, and you look back and you go, oh, what a fool I was to have said that, to have done that, to have committed that, or in some cases, to have omitted doing good when I had a chance. Repentance, at its very heart, is to say, Lord, I am looking at my life in a brand new way. I've got a new perspective now, and you've helped me to see. You have changed my mind. And some people talk about, well, is repentance a change in the way you live? Sure. But just understand, it's a change in the way you think that changes your attitude, that changes your desires, that changes your words, that ultimately changes the way you live. So I don't ever start saying to repent means to change your life. No, it means that by God's grace, you started thinking about your life and especially about your sin in a different way. And God has, and the Bible talks about the gift of repentance. And I take that to mean that on our own, we will continue to justify, we'll continue to make excuses, we'll continue to say, yeah, I did that, but you made me do it, and point the finger, and, you know, the woman thou gavest me, as Adam said, you know, blaming Eve and blaming God. I mean, that it goes all the way back to the very, very beginning. That'll never change unless the Lord gives us the spirit of repentance. And by the way, I think it's a good thing to pray. Oh, Lord, grant to me that my heart should be a repenting heart, that that I should truly want what you want, that I might be able to think your thoughts after you, and that when I have sinned, Lord, grant me the gift of quick repentance so that I will not continue to justify myself or continue to make excuses, but I'll think about my sin the way you want me to think. My mind will change, my attitudes will change, my heart will change, my words will change, and ultimately my life will be different. And let me just say one final word, Kim, just to say to people, this is a work of God, and we ought to pray for that. We ought to pray for the spirit of repentance inside our own hearts. Sometimes we get involved and think, Lord, change the world and change the country and change the culture. All for that. But I'm reminded of the old Chinese prayer that goes this way. O Lord, change the world. Begin, I pray thee, with me.
Dr. Ray Pritchard is our guest here on Cradle My Heart Radio. And as I'm thinking about your eloquent explanation of what it is to repent, let's go back to Mark and let's take a look at Jesus not using that word. What does he say? Does he say, people, it's time to start changing your thinking? It's time for a new mindset? It's time for you to look at your life through a new lens, as the way that you have been thinking about everything concerning God and you? I mean, so often people think, having received the gift of repentance and having experienced that life-changing power of the Holy Spirit coming in to dominate my thinking, you know, I want everyone to experience that. And I once served in a ministry team with folks who had a really different approach. They believed that people needed to be delivered from the bondage of sin. And they actually thought that it was wrong to preach repentance. They thought that I was trying to convict people of sin. And believe me, I learned a long time ago the hard way that there's no job description of assistant Holy Spirit. I was not trying to, I'm not trying to call anybody out on their sin. Is it really just that simple that it's a new mindset? It's not about even focusing on your sin. It's just a new mindset about everything.
You said it so beautifully. It's hard to add much to that, Kim, that our problem is, left to ourselves, we're going to be self-centered. Left to ourselves, we're going to justify. I mean, that story in the book of Genesis, the woman thou gavest me. I mean, that's the reason people chuckle when we talk about that, the point, well, it's Eve's fault and it's your fault, Lord, and it's the condition, you know, and, you know, it's the serpent. I mean, Adam was going to blame everybody but himself. Well, you can't get better as long as you're pointing fingers at other people. It's not to say other people don't have a part to play in what happens, but in the end, we are what we are because of the choices we have made over a long period of time, both good and bad. And it's a great thing to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize my thinking has just been messed up. It's been messed up about my marriage, and it's been messed up about this job, and it's been messed up about my relationships, and I am coming to you. I am coming in sincerity, and I'm asking for the gift of a brand new mindset, and I'm saying, Lord, help me to look at my life the way you look at my life. Give me your eyes to see myself the way you see me so that your healing power can flow into me. You know, I think about the words of Jesus, you know, when he said, judge not that you be not judged. There's always that funny little illustration there. You know, why are you picking the little piece of lint out of your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole sticking out of your own eye? Which, if you think about it, is really, you're supposed to laugh when you hear that. It's a great thing to say, Lord, I'm aware I got a telephone pole here. I see that I have a real problem in my own life. And I've been focusing on other people and their problems. And I pray now, Lord, do some divine eye surgery so this log that's keeping me from seeing things rightly, that's making me self-righteous and judgmental, which, by the way, it's a very ugly combination. Lord, do your surgery in me so that I can see clearly. Again, this is the gift of God, and we ought to go to the Lord and ask him for it. You know why? Because when you pray like that, that's a prayer God will always answer.
Oh, I hope everybody does join their hearts with the prayer that you spoke to give us a model of how to do that. And I know in my own life, reading Romans 8, I'm still, you know, God asked me to memorize that a number of years ago, and I bogged down around verse 20, and then I pick it up again around 28. I'm still working on it. But if you read those first 20 verses of Romans 8, you'll begin to understand what God is getting at here with this mindset that is of the Spirit instead of the world. So, Ray, as we're talking about this, Dr. Ray Pritchard, our guest today, as we're talking about this, sometimes healing life's hurts involves letting go of something that's been done to us. We really did not offend. We really did not have a wrong mindset. We don't need to repent and confess. We need to instead let go of something that was done to us by someone else's sin. How does this process get started in our hearts when something bad has happened to us?
It seems to me that there's a couple things that are required. Number one, we've got to remember that the word forgiveness has three syllables. And it's the middle syllable that's really important. Forgiveness is a gift we give to the people who have hurt us deeply that they have not earned and they do not deserve. If we just say to ourselves, I'm going to wait until they deserve forgiveness, we're going to wait forever and we're going to be miserable forever. Jesus came and died for us while we were yet sinners. He came to us while we were ungodly. He came to us while we were his enemies. He took the step necessary. And I think the key of forgiveness, as long as you focus on what other people have done to you, you'll always find a reason not to forgive. if you can turn your focus on what Jesus Christ has done for you in him and through him and by his grace, because of his kindness to you, because of his kindness to us, we can find the strength to give the great gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us deeply.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio, a safe place for healing life's hurts and growing in faith. I'm Kim Cotola. So glad that you could be with us today. And also, many thanks to our guest, Dr. Ray Pritchard. A short break, and then we'll continue talking about the role of God in allowing us to have a new mindset, to be forgiving people, to create safety in our relationships because of the safety that we find in him. Stay with us. We'll continue here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Tonight, our guest is Dr. Ray Pritchard. He serves as president of Keep Believing Ministries, and we have links to his organization and all the great resources that you'll find at his website on our website at cradlemyheart.org. Be sure to visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/cradlemyheart, and you'll also find a link on the website to our Twitter. I tweet at Kim Cotola, K-E-T-O-L-A. Tonight, we're talking with Dr. Pritchard about healing life's hurts through forgiveness, receiving forgiveness for the wrongs that we have done, really looking within and allowing the truth to set us free from a painful past, from the mistakes, from the sins, from the wrong choices. And also, there's another aspect to it, because sometimes in life, we need to be healed from something that was done to us. No one likes to think of themselves as a victim. I don't. Feeling helpless, I think, is one of the worst feelings in life. It can lead to despair and giving up. It can cause shame and make us feel worthless. And when we have Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, which raised him from the dead living in us. That's how we want to live and feel empowered. But oftentimes we don't. And sometimes the issue here is that what has been done to us has never been admitted by the person who offended. Dr. Pritchard, what can we do if the person, maybe we've gone to them, maybe we've tried to reason this out. We've said, you know, you hurt me, I want an apology, and the person has just been hard-hearted or even refused to see us. What can we do when the person won't admit that they've wronged us?
Well, first of all, Kim, we have to say that this happens all too often. Sometimes the person is hard-hearted. Sometimes they obstinately refuse to admit they did anything. Sometimes the person who hurt us deeply has moved out of our life, and we can't even get in touch with them. In some cases, maybe they move to the other side of the world, or maybe they die, and there's no reconciliation because there's no admission. What do you do when you have been deeply, deeply hurt and deeply wounded, but the other person can't, won't, does not admit what they did? Well, most of us know the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. How many times should I forgive? 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times, 490 times. And that great story that goes with it. Well, when John Calvin, the theologian of the Protestant Reformation, was writing on that parable, he made a comment that has been very helpful to me. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is what Calvin said. He said, really, in life, there are 2 different kinds of forgiveness. He said, the first kind, the best kind, the kind we always strive for, is where we are hurt and injured by another person, and the other person, by the grace of God, eventually sees what they did. They come back to us with a penitent spirit and a broken heart, and they ask our forgiveness, and we realize their sincerity, and we forgive them, and over time there is healing and reconciliation. Calvin said, yes, this is the best. And then he went on to say, but in a broken world, very often this is not possible. And he said, there is another kind of forgiveness that is possible, even if the other person will not admit what they did. And in that case, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, sometimes all you can do is take care of your side of the street. Maybe the other person doesn't care, won't admit it, has moved away. Maybe there is no possibility of a confrontation and a healing and a reconciliation and deep forgiveness. He said there is still a kind of forgiveness that is possible when you in your heart say to the Lord, I forgive that person for what they did to me. Lord, as you have forgiven me through your grace, I now forgive them. And Calvin went on to say, the first kind is always better. Where there is repentance, then there is at least the possibility of true forgiveness and maybe even reconciliation and restoration. But Calvin went on to say, you can always take care of your side of the street. That is to say, you can forgive at least to the extent that you say, I am releasing them in my heart so that I might be set free from bitterness and pain and continual agony. And you know, Kim, I think there's some people out there who, because there is no confession and on the other side and there is no request for forgiveness, that some people just live unnecessarily in the swamp of bitterness and pain, when they would be better off to do what Calvin said, to forgive as far as it depends upon you so that you might be set free. Which leads me to say one final thing. Remember, forgiveness is a gift you give to another person on the basis of what Christ has done for you. Ultimately, we do not forgive for the sake of the other person. We forgive, number one, because God told us to, and number two, we forgive because we desperately need to be set free ourselves. So I conclude from this, even in cases where the other person won't admit it, it is still possible to be set free in the sense that you no longer live in anger, bitterness, and despair.
And I love, you know, this ties into what we were talking about earlier, that it's a mindset. Forgiveness is a mindset. It's a mental decision. It really is not an emotional exercise. And I see, and you're going to have to take my word on this, listeners, if you have not yet experienced it, that when we make a decision of our will in our minds, because of having been informed by the Word of God and the people of God, our feelings follow those decisions. You cannot feel like forgiving somebody, but decide to do it in your heart, and you will watch and see your feelings come in line with it. It's just a spiritual principle. I don't really know how it works other than to tell you how it has unfolded in my life. You don't have to feel like forgiving someone, but you do need to submit your will to what, as Dr. Pritchard has said, God tells us we must do. And when you do that, he rewards us with healed emotions. I really think that's how it unfolds.
Well, just such an important point, Kim, you've made. If we wait until we feel like forgiving, we're going to wait forever. And the more deeply we've been hurt, the longer we're going to wait. Better, as you said, we should obey the commands of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And when we dare, by the act of our will, to believe God and do what he said, the feelings will follow.
You know, I want to talk briefly about how this process works in the heart of men. I don't ever pretend to understand the hearts of men versus the hearts of women. But as I have talked with men, particularly about issues of brokenness and painful past, I see so many men guarding against getting beaten in life. It's not that they don't want to lose so much as they just don't want to get beat. They do not want to lose face. This issue of a healthy shame and pride versus not being free within, you know, having an experience of humiliation and being able to move past that. What can you say to those men who are listening tonight who need to overcome this fear of always worrying about getting beat in life?
Well, Kim, you said it so beautifully there. And all of us guys understand it's this testosterone problem we've got. You know, it washes over the brain and it's what makes us want to fight and win, and it makes us ambitious, and it, you know, we're going to plant the flag on the top of the hill and all the rest of that. I mean, it's, you know, it's why we get into the Super Bowl and the NBA finals and all this other, you know, the Olympics and all this other stuff. And that's not bad, but Jesus did say, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. And I take it that that means that at some point we have to put the flag down. Not easy for a guy to do. We have to put down our weapons. We have to put the sword back in the sheath. And we have to kneel down before the Lord God, our Maker, and say, Lord, you win. You're right. And I think for most of us men, Kim, and I certainly this way myself, I generally have to get hard-headed about it. And it's only after butting my head against the brick wall of my own wounded pride that I finally realized this isn't working. And having tried it my own way, then I kneel down and say, Lord, you were right all along. And I want to forgive. And I want to be forgiven. And I want to be healed. And I don't want to hang on to my shattered pride any longer. When men dare to do that, they will discover that every promise God ever made was true. And you know, they'll discover that in losing their life, laying down their ego, they actually gain it back stronger and better, because the Lord Jesus never takes anything away, but that he gives us back something much better. It's just a frightening thing for a man to kneel down and say, okay, Lord, you win, and I'm yielding to you. But in yielding, there is victory. And all I can say to all the guys is, just try it. Take the Lord. You don't have to take my word for it or Kim's word for it. Just the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you will dare to take God at his word, you will never be disappointed.
Well, and here we are, full circle, where our conversation began, that the greatest challenge, as Dr. Ray Pritchard has put it, is being willing to let the truth hurt you first. And, you know, the truth is none of us goes through life from victory to victory. Life contains hurts and setbacks and things that everyone needs to forgive and everyone needs to be forgiven for. And I just thank you for helping us understand what that process is and helping us think our way through to God's way on these questions. Dr. Ray Pritchard, really appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much for joining us on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. It's been a joy.
You can learn more about Dr. Pritchard's ministry, Keep Believing, at our website at cradlemyheart.org. And I hope that you will follow the links and learn more about the great resources offered there. Thanks for listening tonight.